Thank you, Jane. Tim, you may be seated. You will see in the bulletin that there was a different message listed. That's going to be tonight's message. The Holy Spirit just moved upon me to reverse the messages. The one that I had planned for tonight, he wanted me to bring this morning. And the one that I planned for this morning, he wanted me to bring tonight. But that's not the worst of it. Let me tell you. Now, none of this had ever happened to any of you folks, I'm sure. But I believe that God even intends and lets us know what we are supposed to wear in the way of clothing. He speaks to us. And he spoke to me this morning. I went into our walk-in closet, and I took a red striped shirt off the hanger to wear with this black suit. I thought, no, I don't know what Tim's going to wear, so I'm going to take the white shirt. I put the red striped shirt back. Tim's wearing a red striped shirt.
Yeah.
Who didn't listen to the Holy Spirit? Okay. He does that. And we need to listen. I just felt so dumb. When I got here and saw what Tim was wearing, I thought, oh, Father, forgive me. I want to share with you something that's very important to our church this morning. It's important that we all follow God's plan. It is very important that we all follow God's plan. And I am going to use as our baseline verse 1 Corinthians 14:33, and I hope you are pretty familiar with that verse. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, it's wonderful to follow the path that God would have us to follow and to be on. God has a path for each of us as his child to pursue. It's actually the path of peace. Things don't always start out the way that we want them to. Eventually, the right people get into the right places, and things go along very well after that. As we read about the early church, and we think about the Apostle Peter, impetuous Peter. That's how I always think of him, is impetuous Peter. He was the one who didn't want the Lord to go to the cross. Remember, Jesus turned and said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." It was Peter who kept putting his foot in his mouth. But on the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled all of the believers, it was Peter that stood up for the church and preached the first sermon as a New Testament church with the power of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people got saved that day. I can't imagine that. 3,000 people got saved. 2 days later, Peter preached another sermon, and 5,000 people believed. Now you'd say, well, that pretty well makes him the head of the church. No, that wasn't God's plan. It was God's plan for him to be there and his plan to preach those messages, because the Holy Spirit empowered him to do that, because the Holy Spirit touched lives and hearts and souls. But as time went along and as we read in the book of Acts, Peter became more of an evangelist. Yes, he ministered to the first, he led the first Gentiles to the Lord, and that would be Cornelius and his house. But Peter sort of became the evangelist. He was out moving around. And by the time that Paul comes on the scene, and you know how Paul got saved on his way to Damascus to incarcerate Christians and to put some of them to death. Well, Paul turned to Christ and he accepted Christ. And by the time that Paul and Barnabas needed to go report to the church in Jerusalem, because that was the main church. By the time he got ready to go report to them, James was the leader. James had the authority of God upon him. And James was leading the church, and he was making decisions for the church. In fact, he made one of the decisions for the Gentiles, that there were things they didn't have to do, the Jews wanted them to do. And so when James writes his little letter at the end of most of the New Testament, right after Hebrews, he makes a statement in the first chapter that is very important to all believers, to all Christians. If you are a believer this morning, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, James wrote this to you. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Boy, I changed this before I knew what Tim was going to be teaching this morning about biblical studies. This single verse tells me that I should obey all that God has written in His Word, all of it. I sometimes find in my own experiences that knowing what to do, like this morning, and doing it are two different things, because I'm not listening well for God's Holy Spirit, because we are supposed to obey Him. He's God. He's as much God as Jesus Christ or as the Father in heaven. And Jesus made many statements that affect your and my life. One of them was made during the Sermon on the Mount, and it's something that we must do as a church always. Matthew 6:12-15 is the portion where Jesus taught this principle. And Jesus was teaching them, the disciples said, come teach us to pray. And so he was teaching them to pray. And during that time, during that prayer, right in the middle of it, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And sometimes it's a hard thing to do. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. And we hold grudges. I know none of you would ever do that, but how long do you think that we ought to take to forgive somebody who offends us? How about a year? Huh? Is that too long? Well, what about a month? Still too long. How about a matter of minutes? Well, we're getting close. Holding grudges is wrong for any period of time. But what if the offense requires some negotiation? Now, there are offenses that do require negotiation, where we need to talk to somebody. We need to let them know that they have offended us and that these steps need to be taken to make things right. Well, Jesus taught us about that too, but it's not in the Sermon on the Mount, it's much later in the book of Matthew. You get to chapter 18, beginning at verse 14, and Jesus taught us this. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him between thee and him alone. Don't tell your friends. You go to that person, and you tell that person, you know, you really hurt my feelings, or you offended me. And when you did this or said that. And so that's the way that Jesus said it needed to be handled. And then in verse 16, which is step 2, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Well, that's the way we should resolve disputes. That's the way we should resolve offenses. We should go to the person. And I have to correct something that I said last week. I didn't mean to express it the way I did, but I said it, and I need to make sure that you understand what I meant to say, okay? I'm not Joe Biden, but anyway, what I meant to say, I made the statement that I was concerned about, you know, a fracture developing in our church. And what I should have said, I'm concerned about a potential fracture. There is no fracture going on. But some people were concerned about that. And they did what they were supposed to do. They came and talked to me. Well, then I realized that I'd said the wrong thing. I'd said it wrongly. And so if I say something wrong, and I've said this before, if I say something wrong or something that offends you, come and tell me. Tell me. Don't tell somebody else. Tell me. It's been a long time since I've bit anybody. Okay? I promise not to leave a tooth mark. There just are times when I don't communicate the way I want to. And Lacey can verify, when you get old, sometimes the words just go away and you can't find the right word that you want, and so you use another word, and then you realize that what you have in your mouth are your toes. Okay, and so, but I want to make sure that if I ever say anything or do anything that is an offense to any of you, that you come tell me. I will make it right. I will make it right. And because that's what we are supposed to do. That's what the Lord has said. That's what he has taught. So there are times when I sense that I have done something. Don't always know what at the moment, but there are times when I sense that I have done something. And if I have offended you, and I begin to realize that there's something amiss, I will come to you. And if I don't come to you, you haven't done anything and I haven't done anything, okay? But if I come, I come to resolve it. I do. Because I love everybody in our church. I really do. And I don't want to offend any of you or hurt any of you. And sometimes I get misunderstood. What I was trying to communicate was that we, in our effort to experience revival, I want us to do this. I've said this before, but I would like to see us come into this auditorium before services. Maybe 1 or 2 minutes, however long it might take, to resolve, to get our hearts calmed down, to get our thoughts off from the world and begin to think about him and to think about our relationship with him. And so I would like to see us come into service. Yes, we need the fellowship and that can be done out there, but when we come into the auditorium, I'd like to see us take a few minutes to get calmed down and get our attention focused on him and try and sense which shirt the Holy Spirit was trying to tell you to wear. Now, try and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart to prepare, that we might, as we worship God, that worship might be meaningful to us as well as to God. Not everybody in our church family knows how things work around here. I don't make decisions for the church, okay? We, our deacon board, four men. You sometimes it's only three because Jimmy's not always able to get here, but four men and I sit down and we go over the issues of the church. We pray for all of you folks. We have a Saturday each month, the last Saturday of each month. We meet together here to pray for you folks, to pray over church situations. And so we discuss things, and once we come to a resolution that we are all in favor of, then we move in that direction, or that's the decision that gets presented to you folks. And so anything that I bring to you has been normally through our deacon board. And they just paid me for not telling them who objects, okay? No, that's not. I really appreciate you folks considering this to be, you know, Pastor Appreciation Month. Connie and I are planning on taking 5 days off at the end of this month, after the week after her chemo. And so that may be a big blessing to us to be able to do that. But that's how we reach decisions here in the church. They're not made by individuals. And I want you to know that. But if there's an offense or an objection, come to me. So I want each of us to have a true worship experience as we come here. That's why we come. I want to be close to God. I want to feel His presence in my heart and in my soul. And so that's why we have morning service, evening service, Wednesday night. And so we want to make preparation in our souls for a real Holy Spirit revival. Now, these meetings that we have in February 20th through 23rd with Mike Schrock, they are not going to be called revival. They are not going to be called revival. They're going to be called special meetings. Now, if revival occurs in your heart during that time, praise the Lord. But I think it may take a little bit more. And so we're going to schedule another series of meetings. And that'll be a whole week in the fall. As soon as I get the date, I'll give it to you so you can set it aside on your calendars. But we want to do what preparation we can. And it takes the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to be able to do this. But we want to do what preparation we can as we get closer and closer to February 20th. Our hearts need some preparation. All of us, we get contaminated by the world. You can't help but play in the mud and I get some mud on you. And we all live in the world. We all play in the world. We exist in the world. And some of the world rubs off on us. And so there are times when we need to cleanse our hearts. We're told in the scripture that we are to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves, that we be not judged. And that's what we want to do. So we're trying. We're trying to be as close as we can be on the path that God wants us on. I know He wants revival among our hearts. There are several people who have expressed that. And so I want to see that happen, but I want it to happen to me. And there are other people here who feel the same way about it. If you ask them, they say, yes, I want it to happen to me. I want it to happen to all of us, but we're going to have to do some preparation. So I want to make sure if I offend you in some way, come tell me or tell me right then. And we'll deal with it. And it's not that I can't be wrong. I'm wrong at least once a year. So let's practice forgiveness and whatever negotiations we need. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, some folks have wondered about the blessing box. I had a chance to talk to somebody who was getting things out of the blessing box. Was it Friday? I guess it was. There was an elderly couple there in a pickup truck. He was bearded, and you could tell that, they were struggling. He was getting things out of the blessing box, and I stopped. I was just coming into the church. It was after lunch, and I was coming back to the church. And I stopped, and I said, is that a blessing to you? He says, oh, yes, it is. He said, if we didn't have this, we couldn't make it. So, folks, those of you who are helping support the blessing box and buy things for the blessing box, God is using you, and he's using the box out there. And so we need that. I'm so glad that Diana suggested that. She was the one who came to me with the idea of a blessing box. And Ed made the box. AB furnished the materials, I think. And together it has been a great blessing for the church, but an even greater blessing to those who are out there homeless or those who are out there with inadequate funds to provide for themselves. And so thank you for being involved in that. Now, if we're going to have revival, like I said, we're going to have to communicate with one another. I'm not trying to make things more difficult for anybody. I simply want to get us to work together, that we are all on the same page, seeking the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives and hearts. And I'm trying to just serve the Lord. I'm no different than any of you are. I really, not in God's sight. I just happen to be the guy who's standing here. But God sees us all the same way. And so I have no more authority with God than you do. And you can talk to him and you can discuss things with him. And I'll be glad to do that. We want to work, as Tim said this morning, arm in arm, as we go toward a moment when the Holy Spirit, like he did in Acts, indwells us or refreshes us, renews us. And so I have a job for you to do, all of you. How many love to memorize scripture? I don't see many hands. I just see one hand. We are going to work on memorizing one verse of scripture. Now, you should be able to do that, right? One verse of scripture. And here's the way we're going to do it. We're going to turn to the verse. If you will, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And then in each morning service, and maybe a couple times in the night service, we're going to read this verse together five times. Five times. I want you to have this verse in your heart so that you know what we're working towards and why we're working towards and how we're going to get there. You wouldn't get on a bus you didn't know where it was going to, would you? Or an airplane, you had no idea where it was going. Maybe you didn't even speak the language when you got there. Okay, this is where we're trying to go. This is what we're concentrating on. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. And I'd like to have you read it with me. We're gonna read it five times this morning. That'll get you started towards memorization. If you repeat a verse five times for 5 weeks, it's burned into your brain. Okay, Isaiah 57, 15, read it out loud with me. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. Let's read it again. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's do it again. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's do it one more time. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Okay, you've made a good start. Okay? That's a goal. That's a goal. Now, this teaches us a couple of things. If the Holy Spirit is to come in here during our special meetings, he will come in to revive the heart of the humble and to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. Okay? That's what we're after. So it's going to take two things on our part: humility and contrition. And so we're going to say this verse until you have it in your mind. You'll wake up in the middle of the night saying it. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. It's God's word. It's God's word. And this is what we want to happen. We want to see this happen right here. Coastal Shores Baptist Church. And if it happens in just one heart, we will have succeeded. But I want it to happen in a lot of different hearts. Now, like I said, our first attempt to let the Holy Spirit do the work that he needs to do will be February 20th, 2022. So you set that aside, and it'll run through February 23rd. Okay? Mike, like I said, will be bringing his own musicians, so it'll be special music. Jane won't be involved. She'll be sitting out there with the rest of us, I hope experiencing the Holy Spirit doing the work he needs to do. But and he'll have all of our regular services, plus you'll have Monday and Tuesday night also. Okay, there are areas where we'll have to be alert to the devil distracting us from what the Lord desires to be going on in our lives. Now we've got, because we're working towards this goal, we've got to be alert to the devil getting into our unity, getting into our lives, and causing distractions. One such area concerning distractions could be, I'm not saying that it is, okay, I mean, qualifying that. One distraction that he could utilize would be gossip. That is an area that fractures disunity, or fractures unity in a church. And so we're going to have to be careful that we don't get involved in gossiping or backbiting with any of our folks. And I'm concerned because there has been a little bit of it going on. We have a member of our congregation that's having some difficulties. And I thought that not many of us knew about it, but it turns out everybody knows about it. So somebody's got to be talking about it, and that somebody's going to be everybody. But we want to be careful that we don't get involved in any backbiting or any gossip, as we are doing preparation for our hearts to be revived by the Lord. And now, what is gossip? Let me define that. Gossip would be any conversation that is about another person who is not present and that may concern anything in their lives that is not honoring to the Lord, okay? Gossip would be talking about any person who was not present. And it may involve something in their life that is not glorifying to the Lord. That's gossip. And so we want to stay away from that. We want to make sure we stay away from that. Oh, it's something that doesn't build up their character. That's gossip. Now, and so we're going to guard against that in preparation for the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to us. And the other area where the devil can disrupt our individual revival or our renewing of our spirit is taking offense and not dealing with it as directed by Matthew 18. Not dealing with it right away, but holding it. And offenses should be taken care of as soon as they happen. One offense doesn't justify another offense. They have to be taken care of in love. They have to be taken care of biblically. And so we should be known by God as a forgiving family, church family. We should be known by the community as a forgiving church family. I believe that we love each other. And so forgiveness should come easily. So let's each of us be praying for God's will in the lives of everyone here, the lives of all of our brothers and sisters in the church family. And church family is anybody who attends here. That's church family. If you're just a visitor, you're part of our church family. And I believe that God will honor that kind of prayer. I believe that he'll honor it because it glorifies him. So it's my prayer that we will all be doers of God's word and not hearers only. Doers of God's word and not hearers only. I had no idea that Tim was going to teach on the Bible this morning. Isn't the Holy Spirit great? He'll even tell you which clothes to wear if you listen to him. I'm going to remember this day, Tim. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us, for caring about us, for providing for us, for bringing us together, for giving us safety, for giving us health. We do appreciate the health you give us, Father. And we know that all things work together for thee, for good to those who love thee, to those who are called according to your purpose. And Father, may we be in the center of your will. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.